Okay, so we are in part four, and it's on prayer. So tonight we're going to, this open interaction as well, so we're going to gloss over a few things, but we'll go into depth as much as necessary. So when we start talking about prayer, little bit of a recap. When we start talking about prayer, what we are talking about is ultimately it's communication. It's spiritual communication with the Father, spiritual communication with the one that made you. And now, what is the purpose of this communication? Why do we do it? Anyone?
Relationship.
Relationship. Okay. Relationship under what ends? See why? See, people have relationships in this world for all kinds of reasons. And a lot of times people have relationships in this world based on what they can try to get out of somebody else. So, did you ever heard in business, they're like, ah, he's a good contact, no? Like, ah, good contact. But that's how people think. And even when people start talking about relationships, or say something like marriage, for example, because we're called the bride of Christ, okay? But when people start thinking about something like that, it's, good catch, you know? No, so it's like, yeah, so, I mean, so they'll talk about, you know, a guy, or it's like that, he's like, he's a good catch, no? So, but why? Because again, it's based on benefit. So it's like, okay, you are entering into a relationship based on what you can get out of it, what you perceive you can get out of it. So the goal of even that type of thinking is based on personal benefit. Now, if you look in Scripture, actually, and all right, here's a very, very good teachable moment as far as something about marriage. The goal of scripturally and by God's design of a marriage is to make one mind out of two. That's the actual goal of a properly functioning spiritual union blessed by God. To make one mind out of two. So, when we talk about the bride of Christ and we being the bride of Christ, ultimately what's happening is, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We're going through a transformation process so that we would have and the same mind, and God would have the same mind with us. So we would have one mind, one thought. That would be what it is. So prayer is that path that we're traveling on even as that process is taking place. You see all these light bulbs going off when you see... No, because... let's stay on that topic for a second. You see how so few people have a properly functioning marriage by the way that God designed it. So, I mean, there's very, very, very few. And so that's why most people are disgruntled and they're angry. And then if you start talking about it, they'll be like, oh, what do you know? You don't know. And so it's... But scripturally, and I'll even show this to you a little bit. We are called to be in one accord, one mind with the Spirit of God. And actually, if you start saying, okay, talk about relationships, if you would ever to decide to get married, or if you are in a marriage and you are working to make it work, the only way for that to actually work is for the two of you to be linked up with the Holy Spirit, to be in one accord with the Spirit of God, and then by that, you actually come into one accord with one another. Because otherwise what ends up happening, say, stay on this for a second, is that you end up with two people with mutually exclusive goals, and they're either trying to manipulate the other person or work their way or to get something out of them, and so you usually end up with a subordinate and a superior type thing going on, this battle and this struggle taking place, and either you have passive compliance or resistance. And in either case, there's not the place for true love. So what God calls and what He allows for through the working of the Holy Spirit is to actually come into a place of being one mind with the Father. And on the level of human relationship, that is possible, but it's very rare. And it requires that both people are in connection with the Spirit of God. It requires that both people are committed to that. And so that's why it's like, you know, you're blessed if you're single, and that you know up front what you're getting into.
Yeah, right.
No, you need to know up front what you're getting into. Because if you should strive for the ideal while you have the opportunity to. Because see, most people, what they do is they look from the outside at something and they think of all the, you know, the grass is always greener. You know, you've heard that statement. And so people like see, they perceive, and then most guys that have been institutionalized are women that have been well, marriage is an institution. It's an institution established by God. And there's a way that it works. So if you're going to get into the institution, understand what the book says about it and what the Spirit of God says about it, so you know what it is you're getting into up front. Because otherwise, boy, I tell you, most people are disgruntled and upset and very unhappy, and they're trying to live out their life through their kids. And that's about the best that they've come up with as their leftovers, because they were so afraid that, you know, life was passing them by or their clock was ticking or whatever. And so it's like, so they wanted to hurry up and do something dumb. You can say no if somebody asks you, by the way. It's like, would you like to get... No.
No.
Back to prayer, though. And if you're in the state of prayer, the Spirit of God will say, yes, no. Yes, no. Okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I want to talk a little bit about, because last time what we talked about was some tools on prayer, right? We talked about some things that you can use that will assist you in your walk and your connection in prayer. Now, a little bit on corporate prayer, because there's some principles in that as well. Acts chapter 1. And verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of Jesus speaking, the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and there a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brother. Okay. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon the early church, but it's promised. And Jesus gives them some very specific instructions. He says, all right, before you go do anything, I want you to go back and wait for this promise that I've given. I'm giving you some instructions. And so now Jesus appeared to some 500 people after his death and resurrection at once. It appeared to different people at different times. But so a lot of people were invited to this thing, but 120 end up showing up for what the call was here. That word one accord, the word accord, the Greek word was homotumadon. Homotumadon. Okay, yeah. So pronounce it however you want. But what it means is it means with one mind. So they came together with one mind, in, and they were preparing themselves with that. So when you keep going, what happens is then they make some natural preparations. They have to select an apostle to take that place of Judas, you know. And so Judas is out, so they've got to go through this. Everything is in place for what's about to happen, and then in verse 1 it says, when the day of chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There it is again. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. So, again, this same thing about being in one accord, one mind. What happens is the Spirit of God, when it's at work in the lives of people, it begins to work in you to line up your thoughts, your thinking, your mind with the Father. And so what ends up happening is you start getting His thoughts. You start getting His mind. You start thinking the way that He thinks about a situation or something else that happens. So prayer regulates the mind, and it sets the heart. So when you begin to cultivate that in your life, what happens is you're beginning to cultivate a place where your mind and your heart are in connection with the Father and the Spirit of God, and so that His thoughts are flowing with yours. And so it becomes this thing of, over some time, where it's not even this, oh gosh, what should I do about, you know, whatever's coming my way. You are in a place where you already have His thoughts in you. You're flowing with that. It becomes a oneness with the Spirit of God, where you don't have to go through this thing of, boy, I got to go home and pray, or I really need to call the pastor about this. Because it's, you don't. You have the very thoughts and the mind of God. So, now, see, what you have, though, going on in this dimension that we're living in, is you have a constant competition for your affections and for your allegiance. So you're surrounded by that. So though you would seek to live in a state of prayer or a state of connection with the Father, you have so many different things coming at you continuously, bombarding your mind and your thinking to try to keep you from that. And so in the middle of that, you also have the operation of your free will. So, okay, so keep this one in mind and flip to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And let's start at just verse 1. Excuse me. It says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, there it is again, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Okay. So, a couple of things here. One is the instruction given to them. It says, verse 2 says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." So, same thing reiterated, but then again, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So, the instruction to let this mind be in you involves, again, free will. It involves, again, our compliance, our deliberate decision, and our setting our will for that. So when we began the series, we started with the Lord's Prayer, which was the disciples' prayer. They call it the Lord's Prayer, but he's teaching the disciples how to pray. And "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." So we pray, we yield our will to the will of the Father. We choose to make a free will decision to get off the throne of our own lives and allow the Father to be in that place, and then we take on the position of a servant in that condition. We walk this thing out, but he's the one in control. He's the one calling the shots. So with that competition for your affections, now, what's the end result of it? What is the world seeking to do, and what is God seeking to do? So you have this competition for your affections going on. Why? Because sometimes you have to think about these things. I'll be a little crude here, but see, God wants to make you his bride. That's the goal of we're being transformed into the bride of Christ. Now the world wants to make you an expendable whore. That's the difference between the two. It is. I mean, and so what happens is the conditioning of the world, everything the world is working towards with people, is basically to gain your allegiances, gain your affections, to use you up, throw you out, and with no connection at the end of the whole thing. So, I can't put it in any other terms. God's plan for his people and plan for his true bride is for an eternal union in connection with him, being of one mind and sharing that same. I mean, can you imagine that? At there will be a point where we will know him as we will know him as he knows us, where we know in part right now, but scriptures talk about us knowing in part, prophesying in part, but there will be a point where all of a sudden we will know him as completely as he knows us, and that's pretty cool to me. So. Now, what prayer does, though, and what prayer is that, all right, you are still in this place, you're still in this dimension, and you're walking this thing out. You are, through that process, that spiritual connection, you are tapping into your source. You're tapping into that place of communion with the Father, where he would speak to you and through you. And so, the difference between that is, see, if you have that, when you have that connection, you're able to maneuver through everything else that you face while you're here. See, can you imagine trying to go through this life without a connection with the Father? All of us at some point were there. You know, all of us at some point were trying to walk this life out in and of ourselves. Now, Proverbs chapter 19. I always like this verse because it just reminds me. Proverbs chapter 19. Just, and verse number 1 and 2 says, also that the soul be without knowledge. It is not good that he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of a man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So, or a man's own ways destroys his own life, but his heart rages against God. Right? Okay. So now, people, in and of themselves, if you're left to your own devices, you will destroy yourself. But people destroy themselves, and then at the end of it, they get mad at God. Which is like comical, because God, He offers up front. He's like, look, here it is. Call on me and I'll answer you. Call on me in the day of trouble. I'll be there for you. Anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will not be put to shame. It's right there for people. Anyone can access this. If you're the president or if you're a beggar on the street, it does not matter. Everybody has the opportunity to call out to God. But what he says is that what happens is people choosing to do their own thing, going their own way, and then at the end of it they get mad, they shake their fist at God and they say, God, you know, how could you let this happen to me? No, how could you let that happen to yourself? You know, I mean, it's right there for you. He offers the way to people. Now, whatever the situation is that people are in, whatever it is that has happened, bring it to the Father, because when you bring it to Him, the moment that you bring it to Him, you allow for His Lordship to come into that situation. So, no matter how bad it may seem, whatever the case may be, you stop, you bring it to Him, and you say, God, alright, I am in trouble. I really, really messed up big time this time. Please help me. And I want to get out of this. That's what repentance is. Repentance is, you were going the wrong way, you turn around, you get on that track, and you're moving forward with the Father. So, I touched on something else that you guys were talking about earlier, I'm sure. Okay. So, okay. So, but we have a battle that's going on for our mind. We have a battle that's going on for our allegiances and our affections. And it'll go on for the entire time that you're here in this world. Now, the Bible tells us to not be ignorant of the devil's schemes or his methods, because he has tried and tested ways that he goes about doing what he does. He's tested them over thousands of years, and he knows exactly what works, and unless you are given over to the Spirit of God, you will fall for them time and again. So, and it'll look like sometimes things that are good. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. So, what happens in prayer is you learn to maneuver through the minefield of this life, because we used the analogy last time of like you're playing a game of chess, and you just barely know how to move the pieces on the table, and you sit across from Bobby Fischer or Deep Blue, the computer or whatever. You have no way of beating that or coming through that without getting thrashed. But then what happens when you're linked up to the Spirit of God is that He just gives you the instruction in your ear and says, okay, pawn to a5, rook to... And He just gives you one step at a time. God's Word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. So you will see just the next 2-3 steps ahead at most. But that's all you need. And because the lamp, you don't see way off into the future. You just see a few steps ahead at most, and you just walk those ones out in faith, which is trust, and then each time you move forward, you see a little bit more. So, but when you're in the Spirit and when you're in prayer, what happens is it just gets clear. God, and even when you're not quite sure, because you have those thoughts and the mind of Christ, you still have that assurance in your heart that I am still on the right track. But it's also, here's part of it too. It's part of the adventure to not know. See, so often what happens is people want to know everything. And they want to take all of the excitement and all of the adventure out of life. And so it's just like, alright, give me the blueprint for the next 60 years so I know that everything will be taken care of. And God is not like that. See, what we're in right now also is we're in the courtship phase. of the marriage with Christ. And so with that courtship phase, there's a lot of romance that takes place if you have eyes to see what's going on. So what happens is that God is also wooing His bride, teaching His bride to trust in Him, teaching His bride how He operates with them, teaching them how He would work and how He will be with them for all eternity in this dimension. So to begin to open yourself up for that is to begin to trust Him in a world that tells you you shouldn't, in an environment that everything around you tells you the opposite. You are learning to trust Him now. So it's like when God said, okay, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you, talking about your food and your clothing, basically your necessities. He said, you put the kingdom first and these things will be taken care of. If that promise failed, then God would fail. And then He would not be the perfect provider. He would not be the, which He would need to be for His bride. He'd have to be able to take care of her. So you see where with the Spirit of God, He's also allowing for the testing of those that would follow after Him. Because the many are called and the chosen are few, but it's there, it's offered to them. So they have to make that decision again. Do they want to be married to Christ for all eternity? See, there's that element in there where God, even though it's all knowing, we're working that thing out. He knows all, but we're still working that out. And we're coming through this sifting. She gave me this. It says, faith is confidence in God's faithfulness to me. It is an uncertain world towards an unknown future. Cool. Very appropriate. So, yeah. So when we pray, what we're doing is we're giving God legal right through the submission of our free will to intervene in and through us in the world that we're in. So we're giving Him legal spiritual right by the free will that He's given us that He won't violate. We're giving Him the right then to operate in our lives and then in the world around us through us, because you're also ambassadors of Christ in this world as the priesthood of all believers. So, okay, prayer changes things. When you pray, things change, things happen. And see, when we were talking about some of the reasons why prayers are unanswered, you know, we were going through some of them scripturally. Remember, unbelief is a big reason. You know, Jesus, there was a, when Jesus in Matthew 13, 30, what, 58? Can't read my own handwriting. Where he says that, you know, that when he went to a certain place, that because of the unbelief of the place, the people there, that he couldn't do many miracles. He could not do. Because they weren't even in a place where they could receive what he wanted to do with them. So, unbelief is a killer. You have to be in step with the will of God, because God, again, is not going to make the sun rise from the north. You know, his will has set it to rise in the east, to set in the west. That's the way that it's going to be until everything's wrapped up. And then we need no sun, because he will be the very radiance of the very temple and city of God. So we want to be in step with the Spirit and the will of God. Then another thing is just the lusts of the eyes and the lusts of the flesh. If you are praying for and calling out and for things that, okay, would, if your kid asked you for a boiling pot of oil, your five-year-old, are you going to give them that? No, of course not. So, because you know, in that case, all right, that's not a very smart thing to give you, though you may want it really bad because you see it on the stove and it just looks cool to you for some reason. So again, with the Father, He sees and knows, He sees all. So when you bring things to Him, again, when we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, you may have things that you have desires because you created it as a being that has desires, and has, but you leave those at His feet. You say, alright, Lord, here's something I'm thinking about. Here's something that I would like. Here's something that I'm struggling with. Whatever it may be, you take this. And you're praying about something specific, but He knows. So, for example, with work, you know, we're talking about jobs, and several of us talk about jobs off and on. There are some places that God does not want you to work. Because if you were to work there, you would be in a place where you would be, it would just be really, really bad for you. For one reason that He knows that you may not see. And so maybe it's a really bad, maybe it's just a bad, lecherous boss. Maybe it's a place of spiritual confinement. Maybe it's a trap of the enemy, you know, to get you into a place where you get promoted really fast, way up the corporate ladder, and you will become a huge success in the world, and you'll never be on track with what the Father had for you. You know, so God knows. I found myself, it wasn't too long back, but I was up for a really, really big contract, and I was shortlisted for it. I was supposed to get it, actually. And then I found myself, before that, praying against getting it. Just when I was praying about it, I was like, God, why do I feel it? But then I started praying against it, because, and I didn't realize why at the time, but then as I was completing it, I should have gotten it in the natural. But then as I found myself praying against it, and then God closed it down. And I'm so grateful. I'm really, really thankful, because also it's your time. It's your time, it's your energy, it's and what you need in this life, you don't need money. And what you want is a fulfilled life. What you want while you are here and you're existing in this world is a fulfilled, complete, full life. See, what the reason that people chase after money is because they think it's a means to fulfillment. This is one of the reasons, there's several, but one of the reasons is because they think it's a means to fulfillment. So if they get that, if they just get enough of that, then they'll have access to whatever it is that they desire, and they will have opportunities, and they'll have a sense of freedom, you know? They think that all of that's contained in that. But I know some very, very, very wealthy people that are some of the most miserable people, some of the most pathetic people you'll ever meet, because what happens is they live in a bondage, and for them the illusion has been shattered, because they've gotten to that point where they have the money, they have what it is that they thought they could get. Now there's nothing more to attain in that sense, if they're realistic about it, and they realize it's empty and they're not fulfilled. So they become suicidal much more quickly than, or very depressed. So the world thinks they got it cranked up, and they're looking to them for answers, but they have nothing. And if you would, if they would be honest with you, away from the cameras and away from, you know, the interviews and away from all that other stuff, they would, and you just saw them in and of themselves, you'd see that they're pathetic. Because what you need is you need the Spirit of God in you, bringing you to life, leading and directing you, because that's the only way that you'll ever come into a place of fulfillment, in that, one, you have to be connected with the one that made you. And then, the fulfillment comes in walking out what it is that He intends for you while you're here. And that comes, again, through, on a day-to-day basis, just in your connection with Him. So, there are people that live their life here, in this world. Some of them have a lot, some of them have a little. That doesn't matter. What they have, though, is the connection with the Spirit of God. And so they're, all of them are in a place where they can be fulfilled and complete the task and the assignment that God gives them. So to change the focus, so whether you have a lot, whether you have a little, Paul said, when he's writing to the Philippians again, he said, I've learned to be content, you know, with a lot and with a little. I've learned in both situations, I know how to manage it, because the Spirit of God has done that in me. Now, most of us would like to learn on the plus side, but if you've been through the minus side, you thank God for that experience again. If you've done it God's way, because you'll learn something out of that. Okay, so, let's see here. Okay. So a little bit back to like group prayer and corporate prayer. With the body of Christ, there's a tremendous power with the true followers of Christ when they come together in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Shall I recap what it is to pray in Jesus' name? You guys remember that? Okay. Here, I want to go through this one again. But I know I've said this a few times, but it's important because if you're praying in Jesus' name, Jesus is... it's not using His name. Jesus is a place. So He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, He's the author and the finisher. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Proverbs 18. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. John 15. So you start to see this pattern about who Christ is. So what happens is when we come into Christ, it's a spiritual position that we come into. And in this place, what it is we come into a place where we are the priesthood of all believers. Everyone has same access to the Father through Christ. There is no one that lords it over anybody else. People have different responsibilities because, again, we're a body. So, but when what happens here, now when you have, now you as an individual can live out your whole life there. But God calls a body together. So He calls other people together. He puts other people together for different things. So each of us has unique talents, abilities, skills, orientations. Someone will see this table and one person will see, you know, how you can maximize the space on it. Another person will see a place to do a beautiful canvas to make a painting. You know, I mean, you will see the same thing, but you'll see it in different ways. And so what happens is God uses He uses the way that He designed you and that He made you in different situations, and all of it, when it comes together, it makes up His interaction in the world the way that He intends it to be. Now, what's happened too often is that people have gotten so fragmented. So the world has pulled them in different directions. They've been told, even by people that would claim themselves to be spiritual leaders, that, you know, oh, you must come to this denomination, you must be part of this place, this quote-unquote church. See, the very nature of a denomination is division. The reason that you have a denomination is that we are divided from this other group over here. We are separate from this other group over here. But Christ is not divided. God is not divided. And the true church in connection with the Spirit of God, is not divided. So in the true church of God, what I've seen is I've seen all races, all colors, all ethnic groups, all social status, all financial classes, seen it all. Because in Christ, in spirit, you're one. And in Christ, in spirit, he does that. He does that work. Now the world will try to structure it and try to package it so they can sell it. But the Spirit of God, he in connection with His true church, what He does is He orchestrates, He leads and directs each of you according to the will of the Spirit. So you're walking through this life in that way. So even as John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, He said that those that are born of the Spirit are like the wind. You can't tell where they're going or where they're coming from, but they're just led by the Spirit. So like the wind, you see it, you see the operation of it, but you can't put your finger on it. And the true children of God are like that. you can't pin them down, you can't get them to put 60 years of their life, you know, into your system and then suck them dry and throw them aside. They're very nimble, they're very quick, they're childlike. If you meet like somebody that's lived their life in prayer, somebody that's walked out their life, have you ever noticed that? You meet a person of prayer that's like, you know, in their 70s or in their 80s and they're still like a kid? You know, they're not this like bitter, grumpy, like, get out of here. You know, it's like, no, they're very, very cool people. You know, because they have that, even though their bodies may, they still have, all of God's kids have this childlike nature to them. So, okay. So prayer fixes the heart and regulates the mind. Okay. Back to something practical again, like we were talking about some tools. In your homes, or in the places that you live, create and build an environment of prayer. Because you can do that at home. You can build an environment that's conducive to you living in a state of prayer. So there are some things that you can do. There's some stuff that draws demonic power or spirits that people put up in their houses, they put on their walls, they, you know, I mean, the Spirit of God will show you whatever. Just listen to Him, get rid of things, you know, whatever it is. You know, be mindful of what you put on television, you know, because again, when we start talking about the difference between the act of prayer and the state of prayer, your desire is to live in a state of prayer, a state of connection. Now, you're not detaching yourself from existing here. Because God said, when He's talking about and He's praying for the disciples in John 17, He said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. So we are sent into the world even as Christ was sent into the world. So we're sent into the world, so you will be around the world. It will impact you. But you can make a decision in how you interact with it so that you can live in a state of connection with the Father while you're navigating through the minefield. So, and with that, the one of the key issues there is, again, your free will. So here's okay. Practically, this is part of knowing yourself. The act of prayer is kind of just some things that you do to connect up and to stay in and to get into that place of connection. The state of prayer is where you can be in a constant conversation with God. So you're living in a place where you're in a constant conversation, constant connection. So in the state of prayer, you also realize how far you can go into natural things before you end up getting distracted from God. Does that make sense? So for example, let's go back to this little handy diagram. So you are here, and you are at work. Right? And you're at work, and now you're in a place where you're in a state of prayer, you're in a state of connection with the Father. And now you have a coworker that comes up to you and they're like, oh, this really needs to get taken care of right now, here you go. Now, you can either get caught up into their drama, or you can maintain your connection with the Father. Wait a second, hold on. Right? You know, you can have, say, a disagreement with that person over something, but what happens is, if you get drawn out and you get into a fight, they move you out of this place where you're in a state of prayer and you move out into the state of flesh or yourself. You see what I'm saying? And so now you come into this place where, okay, I'm in my flesh, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm mad, and I'm going to let you know. And then now, what ends up happening is that out here, now, you know, you're not hearing clear. So then, when you realize that you're there, you just deliberately make that decision, all right, I need to get back here. I need to get back to the place where I'm hearing again, right? So, you know, back to the whole thing about marriage is, you to live in that state of prayer is much, much more complicated, much more difficult when you're working again with another person in your life 24/7. So even what Paul, when he was writing to the early church, he said, look, you know, husbands, your interactions with your wives, you need to have them in certain ways so that your prayers aren't hindered. Because there are hindrances that happen to your prayers and your connection. So again, give that thought. So some other things about... okay. When we talk about keeping unblocked, so you want to keep this connection. You also want to keep from having a willful block or something that would keep you from being able to connect. So you know, we went through last time or a couple times ago just about like Isaiah 59 verse 2. It talks about where, you know, the sins. Here, we'll flip there really quick. Isaiah 59. And verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So there is that element of people's willful, of abiding principle, people's willful decisions, creating a block and a barrier. We talked about unforgiveness, we talked about bitterness, we talked about different things that will create a block to your ability to hear. So basically, just choose a life of holiness. Don't confuse that with the 40 rules of do's and don'ts that you're given from, you know, your denominational churches. That you see, there's a huge difference. A life of holiness, in that basically it's just a life where you're being led by the Spirit of God, where whatever it is that he says goes, goes. Whatever he says doesn't go, doesn't go. Very simple. You know, people make it so complicated because they're like, oh, okay, now I don't drink, I don't chew, I don't go with the girls that do. You know, and it's like, some of this stuff is like, one of the very first things that we talked about when we first started coming together was the traditions of the elders. Jesus spoke about it. He says, look, you guys put aside the law of God. You put aside what God has said, and you hold on to your man-made teachings. You make the word of God, the law of God, of none effect, and you hold to your own stuff. You've made your own thing completely separate from what I've told you. And that's what they've done even to this day. Live your life out in connection with the Spirit of God, in obedience to what he shows you. So when he shows you something, just do it. And if you struggle with it, say, God, I struggle with this. Help me. Help me to adjust. Help me to do this right. Because you, all of us will struggle, you know, at different stages with different things. And if you come through one thing, you've got another different level, different devil. It's like, I mean, you come through something. Yeah, I had some. No. In the States, I got some. Charismatic friends, different level, different devil. You know, so it's like, yeah. There's, so, anyways, okay. A couple of things. Like, if you were to talk about a little bit about like sequences. Okay, with prayer, sacrifice and praise. Sacrifice, prayer, praise. Sacrifice, praise, prayer. Sacrifice is the highest expression of love unto God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. So it's through his only begotten Son that, who, I don't want us to stop there. If I just say gave, then everybody, oh, tied. Okay. No. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So, because God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world but to save the world through him. So, through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, God made the way for us to even be connected to the Father. So it's through sacrifice that even the connection begins. And Romans, let's go there real quick, Romans 12. Romans 12,
verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see this now, how this scripture now ties into everything. It says that, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. So you're reasonable, which is your reasonable service. Basically, it's the least you can do. You know, out of everything that God's done, just set your body aside unto God. Let Him do with it as He would have to do with it. And then He says that be not conformed to, because the world seeks to conform you. The world is going all out to conform you to itself, to tell you this is how you should act, this is how you should dress, this is what you should do, and by 25 you should have this, by 35 you should be this, by 45 you should be this, by 85 you should be retired, gumming peas and get ready to die. And so now that the world is continuously seeking to conform you to itself, because you are global widgets. It is just stamping, boom, 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 move you through, thank you very much, next please. But God calls you out as an individual, individual life spirit that has more, your soul, your spirit has more power in it than a billion suns. And there's, so it's, the world continuously seeks to harvest that. And just by you not knowing, my people perish for lack of knowledge, by you not even knowing what it is that's even inside of you and who you are, people sell themselves for trinkets. But through sacrifice, through that sacrifice that Jesus made, and then so what we do is we in turn, just, you know, you set aside, the world will try to access your soul through your flesh. So it works to do that continuously. It works to, and through your mind. So if it can get access to that, so you have spiritual powers flying around all the time. They're looking for access points, and so they will tempt you, entice you, work to do that with you. And the Spirit of God can seal that up, can seal you unto Himself, but you have to again make that free will decision that that's the track you want to go on and not the way of the world. So there's a subtlety of even the inward part of who you really are when nobody else is watching, when nobody else is looking, that
okay. Sorry. I'm gonna
need to
move again.
Wait.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's good. Okay, that's teasing. sorry. Where there's a subtlety where the Spirit of God, He sees the inward part of who you are, and so you have to make that decision of wanting to line up with the way, the will, the Spirit, where He's going, and the direction He's pulling you. Okay. We talked about praise some the last time. We talked about it within the tabernacle and the way that the tabernacle was set up and all of that. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. You know, we come to God. That prepares, again, even the heart for connection. Because no matter what it is that's going on, you have something to be grateful for, something to be thankful for. Somebody didn't get up this morning and you actually did. So you have one more opportunity to walk in step with Him, to be about what He's doing this day. You know, and one day is a lot of time. You know, one day a lot can happen in a day. Psalms 34. Psalms 34. If you're ever struggling to praise God, just flip to the Psalms. Psalms 34. Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. Here's a good example. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lighted, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want of them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? May keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth his bones, not one of them. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So, praise God. And you remember even how we talked about praying the word? You know how that's a tool that you can use? Pray the word. So sometimes when you're reading through the scriptures and something will strike you for something to pray or something to praise, go through it with God in the Spirit. And so then back to prayer. So praise is a habitual reference to God. Prayer is a habitual dependence upon God. So you, when you come in prayer, you are constantly coming before the Father in complete, total dependence on Him. You rely on Him for any and everything. You know that the very breath that you have in your body is on loan from Him. So you realize that, and it brings and puts in perspective your time and your life here on earth. So I think we do need to at some point talk about fasting a little bit, because that's an integral part of connecting as well. It's just another tool, but fasting, praise, prayer, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, your free will cemented in the direction that the Father would have, there's tremendous power in walking out life like that. Okay, so let's see here. So the difference between the act of prayer and the state of prayer, you clear? Does it make sense though in walking that out? Because now you're walking out life here. It has to be practical. If this word is not come to bear on the life that we have to live here, it doesn't mean anything to us. We need to know, we need to be able to walk this life out with the Father as He intended. So this whole thing has to become practical to us. It has to be like, okay, God, that's fine and all, you know, but here's where I'm at this day. What is it that you're about? What is it that you're doing? You know, I want to get on your page. So prayer helps line us up with that. Okay, with the act of prayer. Okay. With the act of prayer. Some things, alright, if you wanted to like just write down steps or something, I'll just give you some that you can just put in your notes. Adoration and praise is one. Thanksgiving. Repentance. Intercession. Requests and petitions. So, I mean, these are all something you can spend ages on these. But just, you know, as you're going through, now, and I hesitate to like give models and frames, because it's not, if you were good to go talk to your mom, you're not going to go talk to her like, you know, first introduction. Hi, Mom, how are you doing? Then, you know, light conversation. So, what did you do today? You know, I mean, it's a relationship. So, I don't want to compartmentalize this, because even when people compartmentalize it, many times what they do is they do that because, again, they're trying to get something out of God. So, they're just, what's the magic formula to get from God? And it's not that. The goal of it is to come into, for two minds to become one, for our mind and His mind to be the same.
So that's what we're striving towards. That's what we're working towards, even as we are being transformed as the Spirit of God would work in us. Okay, so all prayer, here's some things that it has in common. You have a pure heart, you have faith, which is faith is basically trust. You're praying in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. This is what it is. It's not using His name. So you're praying in the name of Jesus. You're praying according to God's will. So you're praying according to and for and seeking the will of God. So you're praying in line with the will of God. And it comes from a place of forgiveness. It comes from a place of being able to connect with the Father through the Son. We receive that from Jesus Christ. And so it's a spiritual position. So for example, like we don't have access to the Father. You can't. How are you going to connect with Him if He can't hear you? How are you going to connect with Him if what it is we come from a place where we're spiritually able to because of what Christ did for us. So I think we are pretty well. So prayer works when your mouth and your heart are lined up. Your mouth and your heart are in connection. No, your mouth and your heart. See, this is, again, you remember when we went through the Pharisee and the tax collector that came before God? You know, one of them came before God saying, you know, God, I thank you. I'm not like this tax collector over here. You know, I give you a tenth of everything and, you know, I tithe and I do all this stuff. And the other guy came before God and Jesus said that he didn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he, from a distance, you know, beat his chest and just said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. His heart and his mouth were lined up. They were in connection and in honesty with each other before the Father. The other one was wicked on the inside, but his mouth was this is called hypocrisy. Basically, the two don't agree. And so prayer, Jesus in that case said, all right, the tax collector went away from God justified. Went away from the temple justified, not God, but he went away from there justified. And the other guy didn't. The other guy prayed with himself. Or the other guy played with himself. I mean, he's just like, that's basically, he was playing a game. He was playing a game with himself and with the people that were there. They were all watching, they were thinking, oh yeah, there's brother so-and-so. But he had no connection. Prayer works when your mouth and your heart are lined up with each other before the Father. So I think this might be a good place to close out this one. I think we did it. So that is the close up. Any closing questions on this set? I have stacks of notes on this one too. But.
Oh, she just arranged it as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, we'll put it back. Sorry. Well, thank you.
Like the tape is all over the
place. I know.
That's why I started meddling with my phone. Do you want
to? You know, and I mean, there's different people that have, like, ultimately, you know, when you start digging into it a little bit and you start looking, I mean, it's not so. People make it more complicated than it is. I mean, you could go through all the intricacies of what it is to communicate with somebody. You know, but communication ultimately, it's just relationship, and people communicate. They share meaning.
Like the discipline of prayer, like daily.
Yeah.
You know, that's difficult. You know, shouldn't be difficult.
But okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. How do we discipline ourselves? Or we shouldn't be thinking of it as difficult.
Well, you know, I think there's also an element of asking God. Father, you know, one of the things I prayed for and asked God is I just said, God, create in me a hunger for your word. You know, create in me a desire to pray. Teach me how to pray. Lord, teach me how to pray how you want me to pray. There's some prayers for you. You know, ask Him. See, I mean, He loves to answer prayers like that. You know, so it's like you begin with our, okay, so you begin with that issue there. You say, all right, God, it is laborious for me to pray. I feel like I'm doing a chore. It's like eating cornflakes without milk. I mean, it's just, it's like, you know, why am I doing this? And at the end of it, so you're like, all right, Lord, you know, it is not much fun to pray. You know, it's not much fun to connect up with you. If I'm even connecting, am I even connecting? Is this what prayer is supposed to be? Would you teach me? And what you'll see if you start off with something like that is a couple weeks, a month later, maybe in 20 minutes, there's the Spirit of God shows up in some way you never anticipated, never expected, and He reveals something to you. He creates that intimacy. He shows you what it is. And the other thing about it too is that there is an element of development with it. There's an element of maturity that comes with it. See, so that's why too, the sooner that you get on the walk and the path with Christ, the better, because it's just all the more time while you're in this life that you have, you learn His voice more and more, confidence, assurance, you develop, you strengthen in that. So, you know, like when you're just starting out, it may be really tough to read a chapter and to pray for 10 minutes. You may just be bouncing off the walls. But, you know, as time goes on, you learn to settle yourself under the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God develops and grows some things in you. It's like, you know, 10, 20, 30 hour, 2 hours. It just goes like that. You're like, where did the time go? So the Spirit of God can do that. He does that with people. And, you know, some of the coolest people I know are just people of prayer. They just have that, I mean, it's just who they are. That's not like something that they have to do or schedule. You know, it's just like, it's just part of, it's as much a part of them as it is for most people to eat 3 meals a day. You know, it's like, it's just, that's who they are. So, yeah, I mean, if you struggle even with like, okay, even the discipline of prayer, you say, God, teach me to pray. Because the disciples did that. And,
but, you know, you can pray for the day, all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that constant connection. But that discipline part where you spend time with God and quality time, that's sometimes difficult. You know, the world is distracting you in every way.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesus, you know, His instructions were to, you know, like when you pray, you know, go into your closet, close the door, basically find a place where you can get away with Him, where you can avoid the distractions. Because see, if you're waking up and the first thing that happens is you got 15 minutes to get in your car to run to work, you see you're starting your entire day in a place where you're not tuned in right. And so you spend your whole day even off balance. An excellent thing to do is to pray your day, so you know what it is that you have coming up for the day, and you basically pray through it. So, Lord, I've got these things coming up today. There's some decisions that need to be made about this. Is this even the work you want me to do? But basically, like you're praying through it, and then what happens is you see the Spirit of God working and interacting and intervening in every interaction that you would have even through that, because you've again opened it up. But it doesn't have to be like this conscious thing. Okay, Lord, I've got a meeting at 5, and you know, Bill will be there, and I need to. No, it's like you just like, Lord, here's what's up today. You know this because I'm doing the work that you have for me. So, and it's just so, it's like things when the Spirit of God is in it, just flows. You know, and even when you have resistance or problems or issues, it's like, yeah, you expect them, but even there's a peace that's there because you're in connection with the Prince of Peace. So, with prayer, you know, part of it, if you need to make it a bit of a discipline and just say, okay, you know, I get up at 7 nowadays, getting up at 6:40. You know, I'm just going to put the clock back 20 minutes, and before you go to bed, pray and say, God, help me to get up at 6:40, because I want to get up and I want to spend some time. I used to have to ask God that. I was like, God, I'm really tired. I have a hard time getting up in the morning. Would you help me to wake up so that I can spend time in prayer? And it's like, it was really cool. Like there's some times where I was just, and like I would, just like that, I'd wake up awake. Like I wouldn't be like tired or groggy. I'd like actually wake up and just be ready and alert. So, you know, you can. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life here on earth. So yay? Nay? What? I see a question.
Not a question. Well, yes. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, when your computer is working, but copies, is that wrong to do that?
What, please help the computer?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I pray for my truck all the time. I'm like, Lord, my truck needs that. Please help. I was praying for the mechanic when I left. I was like, Lord, please help him find the problem. Because you have all the stuff is going on. You know, actually, the scriptures tell us be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. That includes everything. Anything and everything.
And he actually answers us.
And he does.
Especially the little ones that seem so stupid.
Because see, even those things, the things that would go on in this world, a lot of them serve as distractions. To again keep, and so it's just like, God, I don't even want to think about this. I got this issue with a computer. Would you please help work this thing out? I my laptop melted down, like not recently, it was a while back. But just like, and it was, and I've never heard of the RAM going bad. Like on a laptop, I've heard of, like, you know, you have different, but that's the first time on a thing. It's just like, and so then I was like, okay, Lord, I need some help here, just trying to figure out the problem and all that. But it was just, even in that, the thing that too, many times with things that happen, is you never know what's going on, because there may be, say for example, your laptop breaks down. There's somebody at the repair place that God wants you to go talk to in 2 days that may be suicidal, that he'll give you a word to speak into their life, and had your laptop not melted down, you would not have had that opportunity. You see what I'm saying? So it's like so when you have inconveniences in your life, get on God's page, because the very fact of those things happening is very possibly him just orchestrating circumstances to have you in the right place, because something he wants, that nobody else is in position to be able to do that except for you. So he's working through you. So, like, so many times I've had...
All the time, but it works.
Oh, no. Yeah, me too.
It really does. Me too.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything. Big stuff, little stuff. Just, you can live your life in a place where you're like, all right, Lord, I just want to live in connection with you. And so he might have you running 5 minutes late because you get a parking spot then. You don't know. Yeah. Or 10 minutes early, which would be not necessarily me, but I'm pretty late. Okay. So, it's cool. It's absolutely cool. But, you know, God wants for his church and his people to come into a place of being one mind with him. So that's where we're walking out when we walk out life in prayer. Is we're walking out a life of connection with him, where our minds are being transformed to be like his. So with whatever will come, even on the world and all the stuff that we see going on, it's like you have his thoughts about them. Because the world will literally melt down with what happens in the days ahead, and people will melt down in that. Their hearts will melt for what they see coming on the earth. But if you're in the Spirit of God and you're in connection with the Spirit, it's like, no, I see it through God's eyes. So you're in this world on vacation. If you build a sandcastle, realize it's just that. Okay. We'll stop there. So let's just pray. Close that. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit that leads us and led us through this time, Father. We just pray that you'd cement in our hearts, Father,
what it is that you were speaking and are speaking to us, Father. And Lord, may we leave this place, Lord God, in a solidified will, Lord, to walk our life in connection with you, Father. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. Lord, we just pray for every person that's here right now, Lord, that you just bless our lives, Father God. Bless, Lord, the work that you've given us to put our hands to, Lord. Give us, Lord, ideas and creativity, Father, and the opportunity, Lord, to make and put those things to work, Lord, even as you would plan and destine for it to happen. Lord, we pray, Father, just for our lives, Lord, as well, that you would protect us and keep us. Father, for those that are not here this evening, for those that are sick, Lord, we just pray that you would heal them and restore them to good health. And Father, for those that are just out with work and other things, Lord, we just pray that you would keep them and bless them, and that their souls would continue, Lord, to prosper as the work of your Spirit takes place in their lives. Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, and as we go on with what you have for us while we're here, Lord, in this earth, we just pray that that we would do it with you, Father, in one mind and in union, Lord God, with your plan and purpose. So, Lord, thank you, Father, so much for this evening, and we just go on in Jesus' name. Amen.